Psalm 31. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. They took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lip be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He hath showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in mine haste, I am cut off from before Thine eyes. Nevertheless, Thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto Thee. O love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. May God bless to us His Word this morning as we have read. Let's pause now, please, for a word of prayer as we commit ourselves to Him. Our Father, we ask now at this stage of our meeting that every distraction would be set aside and we would come to feast upon the Word of God. Bless this Word to every heart today. I pray that Thou would help me. Fill me, Lord, I ask, with Thy Spirit. Fill me with Thy power to declare Thy truth. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, that none would be seen save Jesus only. Our Father, Our desire is that we will faithfully proclaim the truth of God. And thou hast told us, as Ezekiel was told many, many years ago, whether they will hear or forbear, but proclaim the truth, speak the word, preach the word, and help us therefore to be instant in season and out of season. Help us, we pray, to draw encouragement from thy precious truth this morning. We ask thee, Lord, to bless thy precious word. And again, our prayer is that any who are here in our meeting without the knowledge of Christ in their heart, they would come by the leading of the Holy Spirit to trust in Him. So hear our prayers now. Bless us, Lord, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to the last verse of this psalm. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. In a natural sense, we are all very, very weak creatures. It does not take very much to stop us from going forward. In fact, in the physical sense, it takes very little to cause us to die. From a gun, it would be a very small bullet that would be able to pierce and to rupture and take life. A very sharp object could be pierced into the body just in that right spot, and life would quickly slip away. It might be as someone is driving in the car and they're hit from the back and their neck is jolted, and suddenly life is taken from that person. Life is said in the book of Ecclesiastes to hang by a silver cord. And the idea is that it's something that is very tenuous, something that could be broken very easily, and therefore life would be terminated. And the evidence of the weakness that we face is around us every day. We hear it, we see it in the news. Weakness and frailty that we all are part of is due to our fallen nature. Adam was afraid to see God after he had sinned, and he went and he hid himself. And he realized at that point just how frail and how vulnerable he really was. But as believers, you and I face a double problem, for we have also the physical frailty that affects us, but we also have the spiritual struggle. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 9, he said, there are many adversaries. In the face of all that he had faced, he was able to mount and sum it up like this, that after all is done, there are yet many adversaries. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are enemies of Christ and of His gospel innumerable. There are enemies of the believers of Christ, because obviously if I testify I'm a follower of the Lord, then those enemies will turn not only their attack against my Savior, but they're going to turn it against me as well. And we should not be surprised at this, for if they hated Christ, they will also hate us. And this psalm has been outlining in some specific detail the attack of the enemy against the child of God, and how the pressure was mounting, and how the psalmist felt the weight of those attacks against him. The enemies of God, they are so many. They are, in a sense, without a number. We cannot come to begin to add up the numbers of them. It just seems that on every hand, in the world, in the news media, in the government, in all the facets of business and life, there are those who are the enemies of the gospel, and they are constantly attacking. They are relentless in their attack against the child of God. And the devil who inspires this great army of enemies has one purpose with many details to that purpose. But the main purpose he has is to try and destroy the kingdom of Christ. And if he can attempt in his destructive powers to hinder the work of Christ, he is going to attack the people of God. And that's where you and I come in. Because we become so often the butt of the devil's attack. Satan is determined to destroy the seed royal. You'll remember that story in the Old Testament about the wickedness of that queen who went about to destroy all of the seed royal, and yet one escaped who was of the royal blood to again take the throne some years later. But you see, Satan's attempt has always been to destroy. And if, thinking of that story in the Old Testament, if Satan could have destroyed that seed royal, he was trying to attack the line of Christ and trying to destroy the Savior and all His work. You see, this weakness that you and I have in face of this great danger is often because of a weakness of heart. When the heart is weak and when we find ourselves without courage, courage leaves us, joy departs from our life, and we become timorous, we become fearful. And that fear that grips our heart and discourages us when we look around to see all of the enemies that are coming against the purpose and the work of God, we can become discouraged. We can become cast down. And if our heart is made weak, then we are not going forward in the strength of the Lord. And so therefore, the subject matter I want you to think about this morning is strength for a fainting heart. Strength for a weak heart. It shouldn't be any surprise to us that we can be overcome by the weakness because, well, there are times of great suffering and difficulty. There are hours where the battle seems intense. The Scripture speaks about the burden and heat of the day and where the sun is intensifying. And when the enemies of Christ intensify their attack against us, if that attack should continue unabated, well, it would lead us to endanger. It seems the success of the work of God. It would lead us to depression. It would ultimately hinder us fulfilling the Lord's work. So what is the antidote? What does the Lord speak about this matter? And that's where our verse comes in, the 24th verse. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And the first thing I want you to see is who is this verse being directed to? Who are these people? Who are the ones that are told, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye? Who are these people? You could ask this question and get numerous answers. For example, if you were to ask this question, you would at some cases get vehement denial. We are not these people. If you were to go down to Bay Street at lunchtime, perhaps, and walk down and see the people coming out of the business corridor and sector of Toronto, and say, excuse me, sir, madam, do you hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? and they would stop maybe and look at you. Who are you? What kind of a question is that? I don't even entertain such a notion. And they would just sort of brush you off as you're some kind of an idiot. That's the response you get many times from those who are well off and they have succeeded. They are self-made people. And therefore, they have no reason to hope in the Lord, because hoping in the Lord, after all, is for those who are weak-minded people. Those who are lower intellectually, those who need something else. And so you'd be confronted with a vehement denial. If you were to go into Palestine today and to walk down through the streets of people who are rejoicing in the victory of Hamas and ask them, "Excuse me, sir, you may have to raise your voice a little bit to be heard. Excuse me, do you hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And if they heard the question, and if others were around them, you may begin to hear a silence, and eyes might be directed toward you. You may think twice about it being a good idea to ask the question in such a gathering. You see, you'd get a vehement denial. We do not have any acknowledgement or recognition to such a man. Who is this Jesus Christ? Who is He that we should give allegiance to Him? And so they, like Pharaoh of old, would raise the fist toward God and say, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? I will go according to my religion, according to the way that we have been taught." So there is a vehement denial of people who would be asked that question. Another category would be those of uncertainty. "Excuse me, do you trust? Do you hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" "Well, I'm not really sure. I remember going to Sunday school some years ago. I remember hearing gospel messages. I remember perhaps hearing something about who this Jesus is, but I really don't know." And so, that category of people, if you were to say to them, when Satan is attacking you and you are brought with this verse, "Be of good courage, all ye that hope in the Lord," is that directed toward you or not? "I don't know," comes the response. But then there's another response, and that is a deceived certainty. For if you were to go to someone perhaps and knock the door of a Roman Catholic person, or maybe Orthodox, and say to them, "Do you hope in the Lord?" "Well, of course I hope in the Lord. I go to church, I was baptized, I was confirmed, I go to confession, I go to Mass. I do all those things. I'm a good person. I do works for my society, my church, my friends. Therefore, of course this verse is speaking about me." You see, that's where there is a deceived certainty there. You would also go to many a Protestant church today, many an Anglican, Presbyterian, United Church, and you'd ask that question, and they would say, "Oh, most certainly. I am at one with the Great Spirit. I'm at one with the Almighty." It is very sad that when you come in contact with people like that, either in a service of some kind, maybe a funeral service, they do not have a message. But it's all spoken in cloaked terminology. And it's all given as a hope, but there really is no ground for that hope. My friend, the message I'm trying to get across to you today is that, are you in this category? Do you see yourself as being the one to whom the Lord is speaking this word? Are you the one who can hope in the Lord? Let me tell you that unless you know Christ as your own Savior, then you do not have this certainty. You cannot say that about this verse. For the people to whom this verse is being spoken of are the people who have been saved by the grace of God, saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and by the shedding of His own precious blood. And it's only when your faith is placed in Him and in His work, that's when you can say, yes, my name is fastened to this verse. Can you say that this very morning? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Those who are truly saved are called the people of God. They are called the chosen of the Lord. They are called the elect of God, chosen in Christ, His special treasure before the foundation of the world. And to those people, we can turn and we can say to the Lord, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside the Lord. For He is my hope. He is my joy. He is my love. The love of my heart spiritually. What Christ has done for us, we cannot properly express that because we have been brought into the covenant of redemption. Christ has saved us. We know Him. And God, who before this world was created, made a covenant with His only begotten Son. And in that covenant, He gave a people unto His Son. And it is for those people that Christ died. And it is for those people that this verse was written. Be of good courage, all ye that hope in the Lord. My friend, if you know Christ, then you are a child of the royal family. You are of the seed of Abraham. And you know that Christ is your Savior. And that He's forgiven you of your sin. And He's washed you. And so you can rejoice today with joy unspeakable. Let's move on and see, secondly, the prospect of this is unfaltering. The prospect that is unfaltering. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That hope in the Lord. It's a prospect that is not faltering. It's secure. It's something that's strong. If I'm going to set my hope in something, I can set my hope in no higher, no stronger, no greater than in the Lord God. And so the hope of the true child of God is fastened and secured in the God who has made us and the God who has saved us. When Paul stood before King Agrippa, he said, "And now I stand and am judged of the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Paul rested in something that he called hope. He rested in something that this hope represented. And it wasn't just hope in a foggy manner. It wasn't just hope and say, "Well, I hope I'm going to have a good day today. I hope all is going to go well in my life." That's not what this is talking about at all. But when Paul spoke there about the hope that was to come, he was talking about the promise based upon God's Word of a coming Messiah. And of what that Messiah was going to do and of what we in Him will become. And that hope of eternal life and that hope that was secured in the promise of God is what the apostle was speaking about. It is the sure knowledge that we are in Christ. Romans 8 and 24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?" And so there is a connection between faith and hope. We have not yet entered into the full possession of our inheritance in the Lord. But we are looking for something better, something complete, something perfect. We are looking for a home. And as Abraham went out looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God, he was looking for that. And by faith, so you and I, we look for that. Not looking in a sense of wandering, although we do not have the full knowledge of that yet. We don't have the full possession of it. But this is a living hope. And it's a living hope that has already been secured, that our future is beyond any question. Is your eternal future beyond any question? Are you resting in this prospect of hoping in the Lord that is so secure, so strong? This hope, you see, enables believers to see what other people are blind to by sin. Haven't you thought before yourself how clear salvation is to you? And you go and speak to someone, or they're sitting in a gospel service, and you say, how could anyone walk out of that service without trusting the Lord? You see it so clearly now, and you don't know why anyone else cannot see it. Ah, but friend, remember the way you were before you came to the Lord? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And there is a cloak. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. So there is a deadness that is stopping the unbeliever from being able to see. But those who hope in the Lord have this sure knowledge that what God has spoken, He has said in His Word, He will fulfill. He will complete it. Our hope is obviously in good things, for no man in his right mind would hope for evil things or hope for bad things. But our hope is based upon that which is to come. The good things that the Scripture talks about, in fact, where the Lord says that it is not possible for us to properly describe the blessings that God has prepared for those who love Him. There is something that God has prepared for His people. It is a hope that is rooted and grounded and secured in the Lord Jehovah Himself. For my hope is in the Lord. I don't hope in a church. I don't hope in a congregation or an established religion. My friend, the true Christian does not hope in any of those things, but our hope is in the person that we have been introduced to, the person that we now have a relationship with, the person of our Redeemer. That is where our hope is grounded in. And if our hope is in the rock that is higher than us, the rock Christ Jesus, if our hope is firmly grounded on Him and in Him, then I ask you, why are ye fearful? What ground and what right do you have to be afraid? Though the enemies may come, and though times uncertain may be difficult, yet let us hope in the Lord Himself. Are you going through some difficulty where your spirit has been cast aside of late? Maybe you're going through what Mr. Spurgeon called a fainting fit. Well, come again to this Scripture. Come again to the promise of the Word of God and find that your fears will be set aside. Your hope is firmly settled upon the Lord. Now let's look at the promise that He has given to us here. For the promise in our verse is, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Strengthening your heart. The weakness that affects us occurs on many occasions. It occurs in the normal course of life, in the workplace. Somebody makes an attack against your faith. Maybe they mock at you as you have your private times or your devotional times. Maybe it's difficult for you to even find the place in your work to do that. But when you do, you can see the workers and they're kind of sneering or they're... That is a form of persecution and it's not easy to take. Certainly if you're a young Christian, it's not easy to take. Maybe there has been a battle that has affected you in your school. Maybe you have to take a stand for the Lord in a school environment, and it's not easy, especially among teenagers. It's very difficult, but I'll tell you, teenagers, when you take your stand for the Lord, and you will find that He fulfills this promise of strengthening your heart. Maybe your battle is in the home. Maybe you have found there is occasion for great weakness and the battle has intensified in your home. We know there are situations where there are unequal yokes. There are husbands who are not saved. There are wives who are not saved and vice versa. And it is very, very difficult. The day by day life is extremely difficult. Yet, the promise of God, He shall strengthen your heart. He shall strengthen your heart in every time of your need. In every battle, in every time of temptation, in every trial that comes, during the times when maybe you least expect that the battle would come, that's the time. If you let your guard down slightly, beware, that's when the attack will come. But you may ask, how can I attain this strength to live above the world, and where does it come from? How can I get this? Well, it's not going to be like Simon the sorcerer who saw Peter lay hands upon the people and they were filled with the Spirit of God and he said, I'd like to buy this. I'd like to have this power. How are you going to get this strength? Well, you certainly cannot purchase it. But I'll tell you something else you cannot do. You can't purchase it, not with money, but you can't do it by your devotion either. And what I mean by that is that you cannot come to the Lord and say, I'll give myself, Lord, to You by devotion in a sense of doing good works. And I'll hope to obtain something from the Lord. No, you'll not buy it by your cash or by your good effort and works. The strength comes from the Lord, but God has chosen to use means to accomplish His own end. It is most certainly the work of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. It is His purpose to show us the way to renew our strength. And that will be done, my friend, by utilizing the tools that God has given and by waiting upon the Lord in earnest heart, devotion, and prayer. Has this not been the emphasis the pastor has brought to us from the opening of this year? As he has poured out his heart and shared with us the need that we have to know our Savior better? For the more that we have a deepening of our experience of our Lord, we are going to absolutely become stronger. And the Lord fulfills this very promise as we utilize the tools that He has given to us. Faith is the great means of victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And strength of heart will come by the walk of faith. For if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is faith, there is watchfulness. We have to keep away from situations where we are going to be tempted or induced to sin. By investing our time to watch what is good and right and storing in our minds God's truth and memorizing it and hiding it in our heart. Young people, let me say again, here is a challenge that you cannot afford to miss. And it is the hiding of God's truth deep in your heart while you are young. For as you store and memorize and know the location of the Scriptures in the Word of God, the Lord will use that investment that you are making in your life now to both strengthen you for the present situation, but also to store up strength for the future. Just like when Joseph had the task of storing the grain in Egypt for the great famine that was to come. In that sense, you and I too, while things are going well for us, while we have occasion, let us use the occasion. Take the opportunities. While we have our spiritual strength to store up by watchfulness. And of course, there is needful for us to mortify our own members, our body, to put away sinful things, to be careful to leave no part remaining, not only to cut the tree of sin down, but to dig around it and pull the roots out as well. Get everything out. To crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts. This is how we're going to see the Lord fulfilling this purpose in the strengthening of our heart. We're going to see it also by the guarding of our thoughts and desires. The Apostle Paul said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Harness your thoughts and keep them corralled. Keep them fenced in so that you are the control of your thoughts and your thoughts do not control you. And if sin has gained control in any area of your life, do not delay in ridding that from you. You must say, as I have said many times, that we are not sufficient for these things. How can we accomplish this in ourselves? Well, we cannot. And the dependence that we must have is upon the Lord who has promised to strengthen us. And our prayer daily for the infilling of the Holy Spirit to combat temptation, to combat sin, knowing that the Lord has promised we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. As we conclude the message this morning, I want you to see the exhortation that this verse has and also the command. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Be of good courage. And that's how our verse started this morning. And I'm going to leave those words with you as we conclude. The word courage is a very important word. And there are many examples of it used in the Scripture. In Hebrew, the word is literally to be strong and to be strong. It's one of those words that in the very kernel and heart of the word, it is a repetition. It is like a rolling word, to be strong and to be strong. And the Lord uses such a word to emphasize, to make the thing certain. So the apostle in Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong and be strong in the Lord. Be of good courage. Take courage, for the battle is not your own. The battle is the Lord's. And we are His foot soldiers. And we are called to fight in the good fight of faith. To lift up and to hold the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross very high in the face of much opposition. And so the apostle says, having done all, stand. Take courage. Be mighty for the Lord. God said to Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be dismayed. For if God be for us, who then can be against the child of God? Take courage this morning, believers, and trust that the Lord will fulfill that which He has promised for each one of us in our own lives. We're going to close our service.